Well, good morning, everyone. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, please, verse 9. We'll stay there a little bit, then we're going to jump over to Psalm 98. Starting in verse 9, Luke chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them." Who? The shepherds. "And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened." You know, it's amazing to me how people talk about going to heaven and seeing the Lord. And they come back like it was, "Hey, you know, I saw my homie. He's cool. He wants us to do this and that." Here, they're just seeing angels, and they're frightened. You know, we should consider when we see God Almighty, it's going to be an awesome opportunity. But it's also a chime when we get to heaven that we will be just blown away at His glory, at His beauty, at His majesty. Just a side note there. Verse 10. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" Now, as we think about that, there had been 400 years of silence from the last prophet, Malachi, to this time when the story picks up in Matthew and in Luke of the coming of the Messiah. But this isn't just a story of breaking forth on the scene from 400 years of silence. This has been the program of God since ages past. And so this idea of "do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for you and all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased.'" Stop and think about this for a moment. It was a declaration. It was a proclamation. But it was also a song of deliverance. See, for 4,000 years God promised, after Adam and Eve sinned, in Genesis 3:15, that He would be sending somebody, a deliverer, someone, the seed of the woman, in fact. Not just anybody, the seed of the woman, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would come, and that the serpent, He's talking to the serpent, He says, "You'll bruise His heel, but He's going to bruise your head." In other words, he's going to take you out. And so as the angels come, they come with this song of deliverance, because now the people are hearing, after 400 years of silence, they're hearing that God hasn't forgotten His promise. "For today in the city of David," again, fulfillment of prophecy, fulfillment of what God had promised back in Genesis, that the seed would come through David. It says in when Jacob is blessing his family, that the scepter will not leave the family or the house of Judah. We know that the promise to David was that he would have the privilege of being the great-great-great-grandfather of the Messiah, the Savior. So as we think of the Christmas story, it really is a story of deliverance. It really is the story that God is setting in place that was planned in eternity past to bring about the salvation of our souls. And what a song of deliverance that is. You know, you hear a lot of the old gospel songs out of the days of slavery, and they were just songs of encouragement and sometimes lament for that day that they would be freed. Friends, as we think about Christmas, it speaks of the freedom we have been given and been afforded by Christ. Now, we know that the birth has to connect with the cross. And we know that the cross has to connect with the empty tomb. But set in motion here is the deliverance of our souls, of which I know I'm recipient of that deliverance. He says in verse 20, "The shepherds went back." And what did they do? They're glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just has been told them. So, let's get this here. The song of deliverance has been delivered by the angels. The shepherds believed it. They saw it because they had the privilege of going to where the baby lay, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they were moved to believe, but not just believe, but to shout it out. And friends, that's what I want to talk about today. Are we shouting it out? Are we shouting that story out? Are we talking to people? Are we telling people? Are we demonstrating by people that we're saved, that we're different, that we're changed, that we're brand new, that God is at work? Let me read to you some excerpts from a story by John Ortberg. He talks about a friend of his, Tom Schmidt, who had the privilege of meeting a woman named Mabel who was in a convalescent home. Tom Schmidt writes, "As I neared the end of this hallway, I saw an old woman strapped up in a wheelchair. Her face was an absolute horror. The empty stare and white pupils of her eyes told me that she was blind. The large hearing aid over one ear told me that she was almost deaf. One side of her face was being eaten by cancer. There was a discolored and running sore covering part of one cheek. And it had pushed her nose to one side, dropped one eye, distorted her jaw, so that what she should have been, the corner of her mouth, was the bottom of her mouth. As a consequence, she drooled constantly. She had grown up in a small farm that she managed with only her mother until her mother died. Then she ran the farm until 1950, when her blindness and sickness sent her to the convalescent home. For 25 years, she got weaker and sicker with constant headaches, backaches, stomach aches, and then cancer came also. Some days," he goes on to talk a little bit more about Mabel, "some days I would read from her the Bible. This is after he met her and had a chance to visit with her weekly. Sometimes I would read her the Bible, from the Bible, and often then I would pause. She would continue reciting the passage from memory, word for word. On other days, I would take a book of hymns and sing with her, and she would know all the words of the old songs. For Mabel, these were not merely exercises in memory. She would often stop in mid-hymn and make a brief comment about the lyrics she considered particularly relevant to her own situation. And then one day, the question came. He asked her, 'Mabel, what do you think about when you lie there?' And she said, 'I think about Jesus.' I sat there and thought for a moment about the difficulty for me of thinking about Jesus for even 5 minutes. And I asked her, 'What do you think about Jesus?' She replied slowly and deliberately as I wrote, 'I think about how good he's been to me. 25 years now in a convalescent home. I think about how good he's been to me. He's been awfully good to me in my life, you know. I'm one of those kind who's mostly satisfied. Lots of folks wouldn't care much for what I think. Lots of folks would think that I'm kind of old-fashioned, but I don't care. I'd rather have Jesus. He's all the world to me.' Then Mabel began to sing an old hymn. 'Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, and to him I go, for no other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend.'" Friend, that was her song of deliverance. Turn with me to Psalm 98, please. Mabel sang, and Mabel talked when given the opportunity. And she was able to share her song that God had put in her heart. That no matter how difficult, no matter how lonely, no matter how whatever. And Tom said she never talked about loneliness. She just talked about her Jesus. Now, what do you talk about? What do you think about when you're lying there? Psalm 98 reads, and we're going to see three things, as most of the time we always do. question I have for you, question number one is, what do we sing? What do we sing? Look at the verse, part of verse one. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Now, in the big picture of Scripture, this new song is the salvation story. It's Christ the Savior has been born in me. I am now a new creature in Christ. I now walk with Him. I am perfect and holy in position. That is the overarching story, this overarching song, the new song He has placed in our hearts. But Psalm 40 verse 3 says, He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. The song that God has put in our hearts isn't meant to be a song that is kept there. It's a song that should be shared with. Now, maybe you might have a little bit of difficulty when you think of a song because you're not very musical like me. Think of it as a testimony. Think of it as a witness. Think of it as you sharing what God is doing in your life. Because think about this. What is your testimony? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you shared your testimony? When was the last time you shared what God is doing in your life with somebody? Whether a believer or an unbeliever. When was the last time you wrote down, you journaled about it? Now, many of you know the hymn, or the song, You Are My Hiding Place. He says, You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Friends, those songs of deliverance are your testimony. They're your words to share with. So as we think of the Christmas story, that God came, a Savior has been born. Why? So that He would die, so that He would rise again, so that my sins would be paid for. Isn't that a song to sing about? Isn't that a song of deliverance? But think about our everyday life, and one of the things that we've been going through and experiencing God is that we are cultivating that love relationship that we have with God, and that we're watching and waiting for Him to open the door and to show us what He wants us to do. And that experience with God is real and something to be shared with others. What do we sing? We sing a new song of deliverance. Because stop and think about it. If we look at many of the hymns and you read the stories of the hymns, they are people's song or people's song of deliverance or people's testimony. Because think of this song, You Are My Hiding Place. The author wrote it during a very difficult time in his life. Think about the song, the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. Mr. Spafford wrote it after losing a big part of his family as they were crossing the Atlantic. And so you and I, we sing people's songs of deliverance. We sing their testimony. We sing their words. And that's fine because some of those songs resonate with us. Because I can tell you, there's times where we have to say those words. It is well with my soul. Or you, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. But each of you have a song or a testimony or a witness. What are you doing with that song, with that testimony, with that witness? Now, yes, your song may never make it to the top 40. Your song may never even have a melody connected to it. But it's your story, your experience with God. And that's real, especially when it's based on what Scripture says. We experience this with God because it's an answer to prayer. It's consistent with the Word of God. Now we proclaim it. Yes, some of us sound like a little mouse and talking to somebody next to us. But the importance is that we share it. And sometimes all we can share, I'm waiting on God. Or, He's told me, my grace is sufficient. Or He's told me, hang in there. Help is on its way. Or maybe you've experienced the victory of answered prayer. Something we need to pray for today. The Spanish pastor at Plymouth Congregational Church, his first name is Jorge. I can't pronounce his last name. I didn't want to. He's battling terminal cancer. Apart from a miracle, it will take his physical life. The church has been through a lot. One of their church board members is right now facing leukemia. Pastor Dan Pryor's wife passed away a little over a year ago. So they're in a church that's hurting. But a church that hasn't given up and a church that moves forward. Because we have a God who cares. And that's the story they will tell. That's the song they will sing. Pastor, my song isn't that big. It's okay. It's okay, because not all of us need a big song, a big story. Some of us just need to hear he's faithful. He's good. He cares. And I'm here for you. I'm here at your side. That's what we sing. Psalm 89 verse 1 says, I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15 says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. Friends, that's not an academic activity. That is an experiential activity. And I know in our circles that we run in as fundamentalists, experiences aren't thought of much of. But friends, when they're consistent with Scripture and what God is doing in our hearts with the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, friends, share them. And 2020 needs to be a year that we share the songs of deliverance that God has given to us. Second question, why do we sing? Psalm 98, second half of verse 1. We sing a new song, for he has done what? Come on, it's open book. What's the text say? Marvelous things, wonderful things. Woo, whippy, yeah. Is that how he's done wonderful things, right? He's done marvelous things in our lives. He took a wretch like you and he saved you. And he's cleaning you up and he's sending you out. Right? His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord made known his salvation. Praise God for that, right? He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. Now, friends, if anybody he should have cut loose, it should have been the house of Israel, because time and time again they turned their back on him. Time and time again they killed the prophets. Time and time again they walked away from all that God was giving them. And yet he says he did not forget. He did not forget his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. See, God is at work in the world and in our lives. But are you keeping track? There's an old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, right? Oh, a couple of you know it. We have a plaque that says recounts are okay. Friends, are you counting the blessings? Not that we can go out and brag. Not so we can keep a list. Well, I'm doing better than James. I'm doing better than Al. No. So we're reminded of his faithful provisions. Isaiah 12:5 says, praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. But I can't do that. Yes, you can. You have Facebook, right? That goes all over the place. A friend of mine in a small church decided to put his services on Facebook Live. He's got two pastors in Africa and one in India who watch him faithfully. because he's letting the praise of God be known. And he didn't do it to become popular. He didn't do it to become worldwide, world-recognized pastor. He just simply did it so his shut-ins can have the opportunity to see the message. Friends, he has done excellent things in your life, right? You sure convinced me on that one, right? What a beautiful name. We sing the song, what a beautiful name. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. Think about what you talk most about in your daily life. Think about what makes you excited to talk about in your daily life. Some of you it's sports. Some of us it's restaurants. Right, Eric? Some of us it's recipes. Some of us it's complaining. Some of us the horrible work environment we're in. Or politics. But what about that name? The name above all names. People don't want to hear it. How do you know unless you say it? Unless they shut you down. This past week, I had a chance to go down to La Jolla with a couple friends from junior high. We went to go see one of our junior high teachers who's battling pancreatic cancer. Just had a chance to ask him if he made his peace with God. Because Jesus has died for his sins, and we're all sinners. Are we ready for that day when we'll be in the bed receiving those words from a pastor or from a friend? Will we be able to say, I have made full peace with God? But friends, how can they ever hear if no one ever tells them? And how can anybody tell them if nobody goes? God is calling you to go. What do we sing? Why do we sing? Number three, how do we sing? Look at verse 4. Now I know I have friends who are into the subdued worship. Quietly singing with your voices. Don't get too excited. Don't clap. Don't raise a hand. Don't stomp your feet. Don't, you know, shake a leg or whatever. But listen to what he says here in the Psalms. Whisper joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Is that what it says? Contain yourself as you sing to the Lord. Now, I get it. I'm one of those who can't sing well. I'm tone deaf. But if we're spending more time worried about what the people next to us are thinking than when our God hears my heart, we're not worshiping. My brother's friend Charlie, I used to attend Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church back in East LA, and Charlie would saw me later. He said, man, I always knew you when you were in church. This out-of-tune voice just singing out loud. Part of why I don't sing as loud nowadays is I've gotten older. My voice comes and goes. So I can't afford to lose it for the message. Now, I'm sure some of you might be saying good, but no. I have to protect my voice. But he says, shout joyfully to the Lord. Have you seen the Hallelujah Man? He runs up and down Whittier Boulevard. He starts at the marketplace on Whittier and Hadley, and he runs all the way down to Rosemead, and he goes back and Hallelujah! They call the police on him in the market. He's like, everybody, Hallelujah! And he has Love Jesus, I Love Jesus on his shirt. Now, maybe that's not what this is talking about. But he's excited. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth, sing for joy. Sing praises. Break forth. Breaking through with the song of deliverance that God has given you. Friends, Christmas is a time of deliverance. Christmas is a time where God sets into motion the Savior who has come to die for our sins. Verse 5, sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. Now, I think there needs to be some order. I do think there needs to be some musical scales that the musicians follow. But just because you don't have the ability to keep in tune with them doesn't mean you don't sing. Three or four times in the King James and the Psalms, it says, make a joyful. Come on, you all don't want to back me up on this. Joyful noise. Verse 6. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Maybe we need to get Saul to bring his trumpet one Sunday. Play along. He might like that. But then he says, let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those around who dwell. You ever hear the power of a wave when it crashes? You hear the wind through the trees? The birds flapping their wings and it's... We have some big crows in our neighborhood. And let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together. Friends, we should not be ashamed. My father-in-law was not one to be ashamed, and he's always humming. The lady at the bank says, what are you so happy about? What are you singing? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. There's more to it that he's singing, but he wasn't afraid to break out in a song right there in the bank. Friends, but it's what's in your heart. Is there a joyful song in your heart? How do we sing joyfully? All seasons should be joyful, not just the Christmas season. Because Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Now, this statement always just rattles my brain. For the joy set before him endured the cross. He shouted, he endured it with joy. He took the joy to know that the power of salvation was coming because of the cross. He knew that it would bring honor and glory to his Father's name. He knew in John 17, he tells in the high priestly prayer, Jesus tells God, I have glorified you by doing all that you've asked me to do. And so here we find that Jesus, as difficult as a trial was, because we know in the garden, he says, if this cup could pass, but not my will, yours be done. Now, friends, sometimes it's through pain, through loss, through heartache, that we learn the realities of God's provision and God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. And it is there that we take and share with others. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Is this guy crazy? No, it's through the trials that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in trials are resistance training for your spirit. Trials are resistance training. We get stronger by lifting the weights, by doing push-ups and sit-ups, or whatever other exercises that they ask of you to do. Strengthening my knees, I'm supposed to be doing certain exercises to help with my knees. Friends, God brings things in our lives. Where are you at? What's the song of deliverance God has put in your heart this week? We should always be... We need to be clicking the refresh test part, because God is continually at work in our lives. But the reason we don't want to click the refresh button is we're afraid he is at work. We're just not paying attention. Click that refresh button so the screen is updated. I use Dropbox on my sermons. And Dropbox is like a cloud. And so I can work on it here or at home. And I usually have the very latest update to my whatever it is that I'm working on. But there have been a few times, I don't know if it was a bad connection, I didn't get the upgrade. I didn't get the latest thing from home. And I'm thinking, oh no, Lord, what happened to it? I hit the refresh button on the Dropbox. The latest version of what I'm working on shows up. Friends, pray. Hit the refresh button. Pray. Pray. God, please show me your hand at work in my life. Please let me rejoice, even if it is a trial, even if I'm in resistance training. Lord, help me to see the way out, even if it's wartime, and I'm in a battle, and I'm in a struggle, whatever the struggle might be. God is faithful. He does not forget us. He will remember His promises to you. I'm going to ask the men to come up and take up the offering. And as they do, maybe you could jot down a few of God's answers. Maybe you can jot down on a paper a few things that God has done in your life in the last week or two. Maybe you can then take it and share it with somebody. Those of you which have children, maybe you need to start journaling with them. Answers to prayer. Teaching them to recognize God's hand at work. Showing them where the family can't handle or can't fulfill something without prayer. Teach your young ones. Have you ever gone hiking, biking, or walking up in Turnbull Canyon? In the middle of summer, especially towards August, everything is dying and dry. It is just dry out there. What you see from the distance, all those yellow flowers, the mustard plants, they're all dead. They all just, the grass, everything, even the poison oak is turning, the leaves are turning brown. Everything is just dying except this one vine. There's one vine, I don't know what it's called, but it produces a trumpet, a flower like a trumpet. It stands up like that. The white trumpet, and it stands out distinctly around it. And it's pretty amazing because most summers we go without water, but somehow this plant reserves enough water, enough whatever it needs, so that a nice white trumpet. I have to take a picture the next time I'm up there. I see it. That won't be till next summer. And it's almost like it's shouting, I'm around dying stuff, but I am alive. Friends, we're living in a dying world among dying people. We need to be like that white trumpet that stands up and shouts. We need to be like that Lady Mabel who thinks a lot on Jesus, and when given the opportunity, she gives Him glory. She doesn't complain. She doesn't speak of loneliness. She doesn't speak of separation. She doesn't speak of anything other than her Jesus. Think about that white trumpet this week. What are you shouting out to the world? What do they know about your Savior by what you say or what you write or what you post or tweet or Instagram or Pinterest, whatever else you do out there? What do they know about your life? When they see you walking out on Sunday morning with your Bible in your hand, obviously a little dressed up, showered and all that, do people think, they must be going to church? And if they think that you must be going to church, is that life consistent with what you've shown them all week? Or what you showed them a Friday night? Or what they heard coming out of your house? Just a thought. Think this through. Let 2020 be the year you sing out loud your song of deliverance. Father, we thank you for the great deliverance we have in Christ, that we have been passed from death unto life, that the wrath of God has been paid for because of Jesus Christ. And that, Father, in and of itself is a joyful message, a message we need to let people know about. Help us, Father, to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us not to be ashamed or embarrassed, but help us, even if it's simply praying for our meals, in the restaurant. Or asking people about their eternity. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, the lesson we learned from the angels that they sang out loud. Thank you for the lesson from the shepherds who heard and believed and then went out and proclaimed. May we be proclaimers, not complainers, in 2020. And we thank you for that in Christ's name.